pray together, shall we? Lord, as we look at your word, pray that we'll learn from the history of the people of Israel. And Lord, know how it applies to us this day. Amen. So the theme for our talk is this. I am the Lord who calls you to be like me. And hopefully as we go through the story, we'll see what that means for us today. Where have we got to in our story of Exodus? The journey brings them to the mountain of God, to Horeb, the place of the burning bush, the rock from which water poured, the place to which Elijah would come for refuge and restoration, the place where God was to meet his people and they were to worship him. But what of that journey? What did they experience and what did they learn? They learned that God hears their cry. They learned that God can demonstrate his power over nature, over Pharaoh, even over the gods of Egypt. That he prepares them for journeys. He gives them bread to carry on their journey. And he leads them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And he guards their backs. And when their enemies approach, he opens up a way of escape where none seems possible. And he defeats those who would re-enslave them. He turns the bitter water into sweet water. He leads them to springs of abundant water, and he provides them with daily bread and water from a rock where no water is to be found. Now, these are not small acts. These are mighty acts. If we remember, there was something like 1.5 to 2 million people, plus their herds, that God calls out of Egypt. And as their flocks slowly move across the desert, probably no more than 6 miles a day, so that they're not exhausted by the journey, God has cared for them, God has fed them, God has watered them. But now he brings them to the mountain, and he reveals the purpose of his calling. His intent is that they be a holy people, a royal priesthood, a people who will serve God and serve the world in which God has placed them. That's God's declared purpose. They are to be different. They are to be holy. Not just different from the Egyptians, but wholly different. Different even from the way they are deep in their hearts. They are to be different. They are to become like him. They are to be in the image of God, the image of God in which they were originally created. But you see, there are problems. They've not really, in their minds, left Egypt behind. Remember, they've been there for 400 years, 430 years. And in that time in Egypt, they've assimilated the culture around them. The religious practices, the worship of the many gods in the temples that line the bank of the Nile. They've exposed themselves to those practices and they've abandoned the way of God. More than that, the harshness of the Egyptian slave masters and of the Hebrew slave gang leaders has rubbed off on them and they've become difficult. They quarrel and they fight and they're even prepared, it seems, to kill one another. And so God summons them to the mountain. And there they spread out around the edges of the mountain in their thousands, in their hundreds of thousands. And they're to prepare themselves. They're to sanctify themselves, to get ready to meet with God. They're to wash their clothes. They're to abstain. They're to deny themselves. And there are limits placed around the mountain, a barrier which they must not cross on pain of death, unless God himself gives the signal that they may approach. You see, there's still a rift between God and man. It's an echo of the flaming, flashing sword that guards the Garden of Eden and prevents man coming back to God. And in the morning of the third day, they gather around the mountain. And there's thunder, and there's lightning, and a dense pillar of cloud descends on the mountain. And the earth quakes, and a trumpet sounds louder and louder. There is no doubt that God has come down to them. And they tremble with fear. And from the cloud, God summons Moses and gives him his commandments to the people. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. It's a command that breaks the hold of the gods of Egypt, that the gods of Egypt have on the people. It's a commandment which puts God first in his rightful place. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's a command to break the hard labor of slavery by giving the people a day of rest. Honor your father and mother. Commands which break the bad treatment of one another and create respect and right relationships between family, friends, and neighbors. And when Moses comes down the mountain and tells the people the Lord's words, his laws and his covenant, a covenant is made between God and his people. He will be their God, and they will be his people. And to that they respond, everything that the Lord commands, we will do. But sadly, they don't. And when it comes the time to leave that place, and God leads them by the pillar of cloud to the frontiers of the promised land and bids them enter, they refuse. And they turn back, and they start to grumble, and they start to quarrel, and they do not enter the land. They do not enter because of their lack of trust. But despite that, God does not leave them nor forsake them. And he continues to provide them with their daily bread. And the pillar of cloud does not leave them. And God's promise still remains. The promise of rest for God's people, for those who come after. And what of us, we who come after, we who now stand in the promise of God? What have I experienced from my journey? What have you experienced from yours? Have we learnt that God looks after us? Have we learnt that God cares for us? Have we learnt that God guides us? We've been spared that experience of standing before the mountain as God descends in awesome power. And for that, I'm actually quite glad. As the writer of the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews says, You have come not to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, to gloom, to a storm, to a trumpet blast, and such a voice speaking words that those who hear, begged it to go no further, because they could not bear what it commanded. But the writer goes on to say this, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And as we gather here, we gather not round a mountain, a table-topped mountain, but round a table. And we say, God is here. His Spirit is with us. And we find there's no barrier around this table. No barrier to our approaching him, except those barriers which we have brought with us. Barriers of hurt, barriers of pain, of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of regret. Those things which we should have left behind, left with him to make their bitter taste sweet. And we see that there's no mighty wind, no thunder, no lightning, no dense cloud, no quaking ground. For God's anger and wrath have been satisfied, and after its passing, we, like Elijah, hear only a still, calm voice. And that voice is God's signal to us that we may draw near without fear. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we're reminded of Jesus' promises. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me shall never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He speaks of the promise of the Holy Spirit, that abundant living water, which is ours, and for which we only have to ask. And we hear again God's commandments, given on the mountain, and again by the Son. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But more than that, it's not about respect and right relationships, but it's about love. For as Jesus bids us, love one another. Love as I have loved you. And as we come and we receive the bread and wine, we enter into a new covenant. And we say, we will. But when it comes for our time to leave here, leave this table, and Jesus leads us out into the world to love and serve, will we? In our prayer and in our communion, let us pray that God will so mould and change our hearts that we leave behind all that hinders us, and we become a people who follow where he leads, becoming more like him with every step of our journey. Amen.